Ezekiel 43, I want to focus on the idea in verse 12. This is the law of the house. The whole limit around it shall be most holy, and it's repeated, behold, this is the law of the house. So I think that this means that what we're reading in Ezekiel 40 to 48 is commandment rather than prediction. This was what the returned exiles ought to have built and how they should have operated, but they didn't. And therefore, this didn't happen. God gave all these details, but they were disobedient to it. So therefore, the essence of the new covenant, the new deal that was offered to the exiles, seeing they'd broken the old covenant, this was then reapplied and rescheduled and offered to us. But I think the physical details of this command to build the temple are not therefore given to us. They were given specifically to the exiles at Ezekiel's time. Now, we're told in verse 27 that if you do all this, then I will accept you. Then I will accept you. Well, Ezekiel has said that in Ezekiel 20, where he says that they must repent and then they will return to their land, build a temple, offer acceptable sacrifices, and be accepted. But they didn't repent. The vast majority of them didn't return to the land. They didn't build this temple as they were asked to. That's why the thing they did build, some people wept when they realized that we haven't done what we were told to. Other people just rejoiced. Great, we got a temple, we got a bit of religion back again. And God says in Haggai that if they built as requested, then I will take pleasure in it. Then I will accept it. It's the same word. But as Haggai says, you're more interested in your own sealed houses than you are in building God's house. Most of the exiles didn't bother returning. They preferred the soft life in Persia, whereas those who did came back wanting to grab a bit of land, have their farmstead, build a nice house. That was what they wanted. And they expected to have good harvests, etc. And that's why Haggai says, no, I'm sending a famine. You're not going to get what you wanted. You're going to, as it were, earn wages and put it in a pocket that's got holes in it. You're not going to get what you want. When they did sacrifice to God, they sacrificed to the very mean spirit. Malachi complains about the exiles that they offered, that which was lame, that which was blind. And he says your boss at work would not accept that kind of offering, Malachi 1, and neither will I accept it. But here, verse 27 of Ezekiel 43, God says, you do all this, what I've asked you to do, obey this law of the house, and I will accept you. But the point is they didn't. And that's why Malachi says, I will not accept you. And that's why Haggai says, if you build my house as I've asked you to, I will accept you. I will take pleasure in it. It's the same word. I will accept. I will take pleasure in it. So the whole thing is very conditional. And again, back in here in Ezekiel 43, you see this. Verse 10, Son of man, show the house to the people of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. Verse 11, if they be ashamed of all that they have done, make known to them the form of the house, its fashion, its exits, its entrances, and all its plans, basically, and all its laws, write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form of it, and all its ordinances, and do them. So this couldn't be clearer, really. He was to show this vision to the people of Judah, who were with him in exile, and if they saw, wow, this is what service to God could look like, we are ashamed of our sins, then he says, well, let them make a careful note of the pattern that you are telling them. Let them be very clear and note down all that you're explaining, its exits, entrances, all its forms and ordinances, write it down, that they may keep the whole form of it and all its ordinances and do them. So this, without question, it is quite clear. This is not talking about a future temple. It is talking about what the people were asked to do at the time of Ezekiel. But they didn't. You may think, well, why give all these details? Why has God bothered recording this when actually they were given it and they didn't obey it? I think it's all an example to us that God sets up in very great detail potential futures which we may simply not actualize, we may not realize in reality because we simply can't be bothered because we've got our own narratives, our own little petty agendas. And because, of course, to go the way of the Spirit, to go God's way, will demand everything of us, absolutely everything of us. Because this is a way of life, and it's not a mere religion. It's something that you just tack onto your life as a kind of a hobby, as a sort of insurance policy. So the idea was that this detailed vision was to elicit in them repentance, and they were to be obedient to all that is written here. When you compare what is written in Ezekiel 40 to 48 with how they actually behaved, as recorded in Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, it's quite clear that they were disobedient to it. They let the ball drop. And so God has, for us, prepared good works, Ephesians 2, that we should do them. He prepared all sorts of potential paths of service for us. And it's a tragedy that we, and so many people, just don't do what is potentially possible for us. So I suggest that one takeaway from all this is to pray to God to explain to you what his hopes are for you, what he has in plan, what is potentially possible, and with all your heart and soul, to give your life to doing that.